In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are celebrating the first Saturday of June, and June is also a month consecrated to the Sacred Heart of our Lord. In this homily, I would like to lay out a beautiful bond between the heart of our Lord and the heart of Our Lady, the Immaculate Virgin. They are two hearts, but in fact only one: Mother and Son, Son and Mother. Let us begin with a brief reflection on the month of June and the reason of this devotion to the Sacred Heart of our Lord. As you know, Jesus, in the 17th century, by the end of this century, appeared to Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, and Jesus revealed a hidden mystery of his divine will. He revealed the treasure, the charity burning in his heart. And while speaking for the first time on the first apparition to this Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, he said, "My heart cannot contain any more the flames of my burning charity. I desire to inflame all souls, especially in order to give them the grace of sanctification and salvation, to rescue them from eternal damnation." So the concern of the heart of Jesus was already to save souls from eternal peril, eternal damnation, by giving them a remedy, this visible, touchable, so to speak, remedy, his Sacred Heart, devotion, you know, and he wanted to establish this devotion to his Sacred Heart with the first Friday of the month for 9 months consecutively to worship the Divine Heart of our Lord, to make reparation in order to have this grace, the grace of repentance and final salvation. Since the revelation was given to Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque, he took some more time for being established officially by the Church. But as you already know, Our Lady then came at Fatima at the beginning of the 20th century. And it is beautiful to see the link and the completion, in a sense, of the revelation, the private revelation of Fatima. The completion because since the very first apparition of the angel of Fatima in 1916, the angel is presenting already the two hearts as one. If you look up this the first apparition and the first prayer that the angel taught the shepherds: "My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you," and so on. By the end, after teaching this prayer, the angel said, "Pray thus." Because the hearts of Jesus and Mary are very attentive to your supplication. The hearts of Jesus and Mary. No longer the heart of Jesus, but both united, the hearts of Jesus and Mary. And the same as while teaching the second prayer, "Most Holy Trinity, I adore, I beg supplication, pardon for all sins committed against the most holy sacrament," and so on. And by the end of the prayer, there is again a reference to the two hearts of Jesus and Mary. For the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg of you the conversion of poor sinners. Again, in this prayer, which is the introduction to the message, the great message of Fatima, we have already the hearts of Jesus and Mary united as one heart. And in this second prayer especially, we can see the reference to the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart, of course, but these infinite merits are referred to Our Lady as well, not as a human being only, but as one heart with our Lord. And the message of Fatima is based on this revelation of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So from this prayer, we come to the message of Our Lady, and the central point, Jesus wishes to establish devotion to my Immaculate Heart. So we can see a trajectory, so to speak, from the heart of Jesus to the heart of Mary. In a sense, Jesus is preparing the revelation of his mother's heart, the heart of his mother, to be given as a refuge in order to reach more easily his infinite divine heart. So we have to see always these two hearts as one. And what's the reason Our Lady's Immaculate Heart is one with Jesus and participates in the infinite merits of Jesus? The reason is the fact that Our Lady is a daughter, a mother, a spouse, daughter of the Father, daughter of the Eternal Father in heaven, mother of the Son, and because of her fiat, she made the incarnation possible, and she became the mother of the divine Word, the Word made flesh. And she is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. By being one heart, the spouse of the Holy Spirit, she participates in this divine mission of the Holy Trinity in accomplishing the mystery of redemption. So she is in relationship with the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And specifically because of her divine maternity and because of her new womanhood, she is the new Eve. Beside the new Adam, she cooperated with our Lord in our salvation, in our redemption. Jesus is the main actor, of course, of this redemption. He is the Redeemer, but because of his salvific and unique grace given to Mary, he unites to him his mother, as Pius XII uses this beautiful expression, Socia Christi, the one who is the helpmate of Christ, working out the redemption together with our Lord as one heart, one soul, mother and son, son and mother. So Our Lady's contribution is effective because it is one will with Jesus, one divine will, because Our Lady's will is completely taken into Jesus' will in order to become mother and son, one will, one salvific yes to God the Father for our salvation. This is the reason we can also say that Our Lady is not only spouse of the Holy Spirit, but she is, in a co-redemptive way, the spouse of Christ. Spouse because one salvific will, the matrimony is made by the union of two wills which become one. The matrimony between God and humanity took place at the moment of the Annunciation, when God is asking the consent of the Blessed Mother, would you become my mother? Would you give me your own flesh to let me be the Savior of the world? And Mary said, yes. Since that moment, there is a matrimony, so to speak, celebrated between God and humanity, represented by Our Lady. And they became at that moment bride and groom. One matrimony, the salvific new matrimony of the new covenant. So the hearts of Jesus and Mary are indeed one heart. And the heart of Jesus is, historically speaking, leading us step by step to understand that the heart of Mary is that salvific realm where we find easily Jesus, because again, hell will is one with Jesus. But we have also to confess that sometimes we find ourselves in a very difficult position to choose between devotion to Jesus and to the Sacred Heart and devotion to Our Lady. What should we do? What is more fitting, more important and necessary? So sometimes we are a little bit uncertain what to do. Dear brethren, there is no split again between Jesus and Mary. They are one heart. We have not to trouble ourselves saying, what should I do? Should I be more devoted to Jesus than Mary? Should I be more directed to Jesus? Otherwise, Jesus might be offended. No. The more you come into Our Lady's heart, the more you are devoted to her Immaculate Heart, the more perfect you find yourself already in the heart of Jesus, more perfectly than going to Jesus personally. Of course, you can always go to Jesus personally, but it is always a risk, so to speak, of finding yourself, your own will, instead of Christ. If you go to Christ through Mary, you certainly find Christ, because when Mary is there, Christ is. Her will is directing you perfectly to Him. This is the reason also again to consider the historical development of these private revelations, starting with the Sacred Heart and then the Immaculate Heart of Mary. God, Jesus, wishes to establish this devotion to show mankind the most perfect way to be Christians, to be in the heart of Jesus, to be devoted, truly devoted to Jesus, by worshiping His divine heart. And this worship is made possible when you are consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, because it is Our Lady worshiping Jesus in you. It is Our Lady taking your own self and driving you directly into the divine heart of Christ, as a mother does with the child, leading us to Christ without any danger, without any possibility to turn away from Christ because of our own selfishness, our sins. She is the mother helping us, purifying us with her merits to find Jesus and only Jesus. One final point. This is, I said, sometimes we find ourselves in a difficult position to choose, but there are some objections coming from the Protestant world about this. And one is this. Catholics who say that the Immaculate Heart of Mary is important are forgetting, and they are of course calling on Our Lady as Gate of Heaven. We call on Our Lady in the Litany of Loreto, Gate of Heaven. But this is a heresy, because according to the Gospel of Saint John, Jesus precisely, clearly says that he is the gate. There is only one gate leading to the sheep fold, and this gate is Christ. Someone who finds another gate and goes through another gate is a thief and a robber. Are we thieves then? Gate of Heaven, what does it mean? This is the same thing, the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. There is a beautiful answer of Blessed John Henry Newman, who says, Christian piety, in making reference to Our Lady as the Gate of Heaven, is actually pointing to the fact that Our Lady is the gate letting Jesus into the world. We normally understand the gate as a way to go from this world to the other, to the heavenly life. But the biblical reference to this, supporting this litany, is that Our Lady is the gate of heaven, because through her, Jesus came into the world. No other gate than her virginal womb. And this gate is biblical. Why? This is the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 44, when Ezekiel says that there is in the temple one gate through which our Lord came, and that gate has to remain shut always, because through it only our Lord has to pass. The fathers of the Church have immediately understood this as a symbol of Our Lady's perpetual virginity. It is a shut gate. Although Jesus came through it, but that gate is shut because Our Lady is virgin, perpetually virgin. Her womb was intact. Jesus came through it, but respecting that gate, which is always shut. Gate of Heaven. Gate because she is the door of Christ into the world. And then, because of this great ministry of salvation, she can also, under Christ, be the gate letting us into heaven. Of course, united with Jesus, with her merits subordinated to the merits of Christ. She is the gate of heaven. Her fiat is the threshold between eternity and time. And in order to go from time into eternity, you have always to go through that gate, to step onto that threshold. Otherwise, no heaven, no eternity. This is God's logic, and we wish to respect it. We adore it. We adore the divine heart of Jesus, who revealed us the fittingness of his mother's immaculate heart. We consecrate ourselves to the Immaculate Heart to find Jesus' divine heart and to be saved, to go through his pierced heart with Mary and to be taken into life eternal. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.